You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Ewan Murray.
Hello and welcome to a very special edition of the Race to Dubai show as we look back at the major championships in 2016, a year which will be remembered for four first-time winners. It all started at Augusta, where Danny Willett claimed the green jacket in spectacular fashion.
You dream about these kind of days and things like that, but for them to happen, you know, there's four a year. So to actually be sat here is just, it's still mind-boggling.
Dustin Johnson then broke his major duck with a nerveless display at the US Open.
It's a huge monkey off my back, and it feels really good for sure, because I've worked so hard to get here. You know, I've put myself in this position many times, and, you know, to get it done is definitely sweet.
Then records tumbled at the Open Championship as Henrik Stenson reigned supreme in Scotland.
Close, and in for Henrik Stenson. What a way to win the Open Championship.
And finally, it was Jimmy Walker's turn to taste victory as he went wire to wire at the US PGA Championship.
I felt confident. I felt confident in myself. I felt confident in what I was doing. I felt confident in my golf swing, my putting, chipping. And I just kind of tried to wrap myself around that everything was feeling good and to go with that.
From Augusta to Baltusrol via Oakmont and Royal Troon, you'll hear from all four winners as we reflect on another year of stunning golf in the four majors of 2016. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and alongside me is Ewan Murray. And Ewan, well, another vintage year, particularly majors-wise.
Fantastic year on the PGA Tour, the European Tour, and worldwide.
Yeah, to get four first-time winners in one season is pretty magical. And magical, when I mention that word, is who I think of in the form of Bob Bubka. Bob, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, and it was just amazing going into the majors last year. We knew we were going to go to four iconic venues. I mean, Augusta speaks for itself, Oakmont, and then Royal Troon, then Baltusrol. And to think we would come out of it with four first-time winners, simply incredible.
And you had two American winners as well, by the way.
Well, we certainly did that. Dustin Johnson finally got the job done, and Jimmy Walker, maybe a surprise to some, but a very mature player in his mid-30s, so not a youngster, but can really get it going when he's right.
Well, let's cast our minds back first to Augusta in April, the beautiful azaleas at Augusta National, where Danny Willett became the first British player to win the Masters in 20 years with what was a remarkable win. The Englishman finished on 5 under par, 3 shots clear of Lee Westwood and Jordan Spieth, who himself had looked set to claim successive green jackets when he led by 5 shots with just 8 holes to play. But the defending champion dramatically dropped 6 shots in 3 holes to hand Willett the crown, and with it, his first major title. Let's hear now from Danny Willett, who only became a father a week before the start of the tournament.
I can't put it into words, you know. To win golf tournaments on tour is what we dream of doing, you know, on the PGA and on the European tours. It's what you practice for, it's what you play for. But you dream about these kind of days and things like that. But for them to happen, you know, there's four a year. So to actually be sat here is just, it's still mind-boggling. You know, be able to sit here with a green jacket on and obviously chatting to you guys. You know, the fact that we've been able to come through everything that's happened and play so well under the pressure that we did on the back nine today. And, you know, I've won a couple of golf tournaments around the world, but, you know, this is just a different league. You know, it's a major, it's the Masters. So, yeah, you know, I come back to it. I've been fantastic mentally this week, you know, going through my processes, realising that each shot, you know, is its own separate thing, and trying to just go through the correct process and pull a shot off. Luckily, we dropped on some really good numbers today. You know, this golf course is tough enough if you're trying to hit little shots in between. You were firm greens, but luckily we dropped on some really good numbers coming down the stretch, which allowed us to be really aggressive and hit them shots.
It was an amazing final round, Ewan, and when you consider that Jordan didn't quite have his A game, but he tore up that front nine, it really did look at one point that he was going to wear the green jacket again.
Surely did. It was a remarkable performance over the closing holes of that front nine, which gave him the handsome lead. But having dropped a shot at 11, he would dearly love to have the tee shot at 12 once again. But, you know, I don't think Willett got full credit for winning the Masters, because if you look at the start of his week, 70-74, he level par after 2 days, maybe not right in there in contention, 72 in the third round. But, you know, he got the news on the 16th tee of what happened at 12, and he just seemed to find another gear. The tee shot he hit at 16 was outstanding. The chip he hit at 17 was even more outstanding, and then held his nerve to make the 4 at 18, which left really for the race too much to deal with.
And what did you, Bob, make of the Danny Willett performance?
Well, I don't think he got the credit that he deserved immediately following the Masters. All the talk was sealed his victory, but I just thought he played brilliantly down the stretch, shooting at 67 in that final round. He certainly earned his first major.
Do you think Augusta National, Ewan, has now got the setup of the course pretty much right?
I think Billy Payne, the chairman there, has got us the Masters back. And we saw that in 2011 when Charles Schwartzel birdied the 15th, 16th, 17th and 18th. That's the Masters we knew from years gone by, and thankfully we have got it back.
They never used to have rough at Augusta, Bob, but then they put a little bit of sort of, you know, light fluffy rough down the side. You can still hit a shot from there. But I don't know, I quite like to see it go back to its normal short grass everywhere state.
Well, I mean, there's pros and cons, Robert. I mean, people like the fact that, you know, with the absence of rough, like you said, it makes it easier for scoring. But, you know, these guys are so good. You have to have some penalty for not being in the fairway. I'm fine with the way it is right now.
Jordan Spieth tried his hardest in that back nine to recover, Ewan. He got very close.
He did get very close. It's such a shock. It's going to take you 10 or 15 minutes to get over what happened at the 12th hole. And all credit to Spieth. He's a fine champion. There'll be more majors for him. But yeah, I remember him saying just when he came off the 18th green, signed his card, he said, this one is going to hurt. And I think if you look at his performances from the Masters, it did hurt.
Well, as you said, Ewan, he bogeyed the 10th and the 11th and then really came unstuck at that par 3 12th. Here are Spieth's words.
Well, that ball flight is one that's come up quite a bit for me on par 3s this week. I'm not getting around my body enough. Just put a bad swing on it right at the wrong time, and then probably should have gone to the drop zone where we knew the yardage. It was kind of tough for me to commit over by the 13th hole. So, yeah, just compounded mistakes, but just lack of discipline to hit it over that bunker coming off of two bogeys instead of recognizing that I'm still leading the Masters. You know, I just put a little bit of weak swings on it, three holes in a row, all of a sudden I'm not leading anymore. We still have the confidence that we're a closing team, we can close. I have no doubt about that ability. I just think it was a very tough 30 minutes for me that hopefully I never experience again.
It's been a meteoric rise for Jordan Spieth as such a young man, Ewan. But do you think not only was it inexperience on his part that he didn't go back to the drop zone, also his caddy Michael Greller?
I think it's difficult to blame either one of these, to be honest. That, yes, he's a very young man. He was 22 years of age when he stepped on that 12th tee. Still got a lot to learn. Greller, a former school teacher over in the west coast of the United States, he'll be learning his trade as well. But, you know, I remember the very first time I played that 12th hole at Augusta and the wind was gently off the right. And I got on the tee and I thought, what is all this discussion about the 12th hole? Just a nice clip with an 8-iron and a draw. And I promise you, when the ball got to the top of its flight, it went left to right as if the wind had turned round the other way. And one of the members I was playing with just laughed. He says, that's happened to so many down the years.
The great thing, Bob, about short par threes, if they're going to be great par threes, they've nearly all got water involved, like the 17th at Sawgrass. It's a double scary hole, that 12th.
Well, it really is, because Ewan brought up an excellent point there. When you're on the tee, it doesn't look intimidating, but a little bit of a miscue and you pay the price. And it really hadn't been a friendly hole for Jordan Spieth back in 2014. He put it in the water on 12 on Sunday. So when he gets there in 2017, he's going to be one nervous lad Sunday afternoon at that par 3 12 at Augusta.
Do you think Spieth has recovered fairly well from what happened there? Because, you know, when you blow a Masters, Ewan, it stays with you for a while.
He's already got one tucked away. I think that's going to soften the blow. And, you know, all the way through your career, you have learning processes, and he's shown in other major tournaments, not just the Masters, tucked away that green jacket, as I say. He would love to have the shot again, there's no doubt about that. But that green is so narrow, back to front, and so wide from left to right. A more experienced player would not have attempted to play the shot that he played, even though he said it was a poor shot. The one he attempted to play was the mistake.
Yeah, it really is. It was hard to watch at the time, but for Danny Willett, Bob, he stood in that 16th tee, found out there'd been an implosion behind him, and he had the lead, and he still had to play some golf. That was winning like a major championship should win. If you're going to be a major champion, at some point, you have to realise the situation you're in, and he knew that with three holes to go.
Well, that's an excellent point, Robert Lee. I mean, certainly, Jordan Spieth opened the door, but Danny Willett still had to go through that door, and he demonstrated 16, 17, and 18 that he really has what it takes to be a major. major champion. And as I alluded to a little earlier in the show, this was an event that was won by Danny Willett, probably even more than the fact that it was lost by Jordan Spieth.
Do you think, Ewan, it helped Danny that he was playing with his stablemate Lee Westwood in that final round?
I'm sure it did. But at the end of the day, his focus would be simply on finishing this run off properly. And he did that in great style. Many will talk about the 2 at 16. The 4 at 17 was quite exceptional.
Yeah, the chip was a beautiful little shot. It really was. And he said himself, if he had another 20 goes, he would never have got it that close. It was an amazing chip. And to finish like he did was exemplary. And of course, he played with Lee Westwood, who claimed a 9th top three finish in a major championship as he finished alongside Spieth in second.
Very proud. I mean, I'm very under-golfed coming in here as well. I'm going to be playing 3 weeks out of 14, so... That's not like me at all, and you know I played well on the week that I wanted to, so it's nice to play well at Augusta and contend for the first major championship of the year, because like I said, I haven't played that much and I haven't practiced that much.
Bob, do you think Lee Westwood at some point might have his week, 4 good rounds in a major and deservedly win a major championship?
Well, I think the key word there, Robert Lee, is deservedly. If anybody deserves to win a major, it's Lee Westwood. When we look at that Masters last year, Lee Westwood with that disappointing 75 in the second round. If you just make that level par, he's in a playoff. So he has come close in the past. He knows what it takes. And, you know, it's going to take 4 magical rounds for Lee Westwood, and also the absence of somebody going berserk. You would think that if you really play well, you're going to win. Well, we find out later on in the year at Royal Troon that just playing well or even playing great doesn't give you a victory, as Phil Mickelson played as well as you could possibly play and didn't win the Open Championship thanks to the performance of Henrik Stenson.
And for you, Ewan, Westwood, finally get it right somewhere along the line? Could happen.
I hope so. His career deserves it. But, of course, time is ticking on, 43 years of age now. But he does have a wealth of experience behind him. I think in any of these majors, you need a bit of fortune, and Westwood hasn't had it.
Top 10, please, Ewan, from the Masters, which was well represented by players from these islands.
It surely was. There was a 5-way tie in 10th place. Brent Snedeker, Justin Rose, Rory McIlroy, bad third round of 77. Jason Day and Daniel Berger made up tied 10th. Hideki Matsuyama gave us a shape of what was to come in 2016, tying 7th with Søren Kjelsen and Matt Fitzpatrick, both of these players safely through to the Masters in 2017. 3-way tie for 4th, Dustin Johnson, J.B. Holmes and Paul Casey, who enjoyed his best year on the PGA Tour. Westwood tied 2nd with Spieth. I would like to look on the fact that Spieth didn't lose the Masters. I would like to look on the fact that Danny Willett won it.
Yeah, a point well made. And it was also the great Tom Watson's last appearance as a player at Augusta. The 66-year-old playing in his 43rd Masters was fighting back the tears as he walked off the 18th to rapturous applause.
I mean, I just go out and I try to my damnedest to play the best golf I possibly can. Every time I'm on the golf course when I'm in competition, I didn't feel like it was a final walk until basically the last couple of holes. I still had a shot at it. That's just me. The gratitude that the crowd showed me all day, the hats off. I just feel very blessed that they feel that way about me. I hope that over the period of my career that I've been able to show the crowd some great golf.
Well, he surely has done that, and you and I suspect we're going to see Tom for many years at Augusta.
For sure, and he'll be an honorary starter when the time comes, and he'll still play on the Champions Tour. But the final vision of Watson for me was that Egg Sandwich left at the 13th for his late caddy, Bruce Edwards. He did that every year from the time Bruce passed away, and they had a very special relationship, and Bruce was alongside him at some of his finest moments.
What's your favourite thing about Tom Watson, Bob Bubka?
Well, there's so many things that are favourite about Tom Watson. Obviously, the two-time winner, but, you know, the grace and dignity that he has shown over his career, a real inspiration and just somebody that would never quit, constantly battling. Even in that last Masters, he was desperately on Friday trying to make the cut and came relatively close to getting to play the weekend. And that's what I'll remember about Tom Watson, never a quitter.
Yeah, as a competitor, Ewan, has anybody competed harder? You know, maybe there were more gifted players in other ways, but has anybody been a harder competitor than Tom Watson?
Probably not. You have to look back at his early years. He used to be called the bridesmaid. He was never able to win. He was second everywhere and eventually won the Western Open and, of course, won the Open Championship at Carnoustie back in 1975. So he had a few failings before he found success. Some of his moments in Ryder Cup, in major tournaments, fantastic.
Yeah, just brilliant. So we must reflect that Danny Willett was the Masters champion, the first of four breakthrough winners in a fantastic 2016. The second major of the year is always the US Open Championship. And this year, it was at the amazing Oakmont Country Club. I'd never been there before this year, Ewan. I just couldn't believe when I got there on the Wednesdays that you could create putting surfaces as quick as they were.
Well, in the members' guest competition, they managed to get them up to 16 on the stint meter, and many of the players are still smiling after the fifth putt.
I walked around that golf because I had never seen it before, so I did the you can't take a cart at the US Open, it's just too busy. So I walked around, and I honestly thought, I mean, they had a bit of rain, which softened things up, but I honestly thought on that Wednesday afternoon that if they didn't change the golf course at all, they would struggle to get everyone around. They were that fast.
Yeah, they're up there 13 on the stint meeting. Of course, if you add the slope into the greens at Oakmont, you're probably looking at what I was saying earlier, 15 or 16. The great thing about Oakmont, it's one of America's finest courses, no doubt about that. It's all about position. It doesn't really play that long, Oakmont, but it's a course you cannot play from the wrong side of the fairway.
Well, it was to prove a redemptive week for Dustin Johnson, who narrowly lost out at Chambers Bay to Jordan Spieth the year before, and the ghosts were laid to rest with an emphatic victory in Pennsylvania. And the win was that much more impressive, given that DJ had the prospect of a one-shot penalty looming over him for the last third of the final round. It mattered not, though, as he closed for a 2-under par 68, and although the one-shot penalty was added to his score, he finished 4-under par, 3 shots clear of Ireland's Shane Lowry and fellow Americans Jim Furyk and Scott Piercy. So even before we hear from the winner, Ewan, it was a frantic final round in many ways when we realised as golf watchers that something horrendous could happen to Dustin Johnson.
Immediately, Dustin turned to his playing partner, he turned to the referee. Everything was OK. He hadn't caused the ball to move. And then it's a good hour and 40 minutes before the USGA then say, we need to have another look at this. So I felt for Dustin Johnson. I felt for Shane Lowry, and I think it affected him immensely in that final day because nobody knew where they were. Was he going to get the penalty? Mm. Was he not going to get the penalty? And the thing at the end of it, there was a penalty. And even today, I think, what was it for?
Yeah, I totally agree with what you say. I'll throw it to Bob, but I mean, Westwood was playing with Dustin Johnson. He was happy that he hadn't caused the ball to move. The referee with the match was happy that he hadn't caused the ball to move, Bob. And then the USGA took it somewhere else.
You know, he's tough mentally, and I think he demonstrated that beyond any question of a doubt. And much to the credit of rules officials, the USGA and the RNA, they have now eliminated that possibility. If you move a ball accidentally on the putting green, no penalty. I applaud that new rule that goes into effect January 1st, 2017.
It's been a long time coming, that is for sure. Let's hear from the 2016 U.S. Open champion, Dustin Johnson.
You know, it's definitely a big monkey off my back. Coming into today, you know, I've been in this situation time and time again. So, you know, I know what to expect. You know, I know how to handle myself. And, you know, for me to finally get it done on Sunday in a major, it's a huge monkey off my back. I don't know. It's fantastic. And it feels really good for sure because, you know, I've worked so hard to get here. You know, I've put myself in this position many times. And, you know, to get it done is definitely sweet.
When they mention the phrase, Ewan, natural talent, is there anybody that's got more than Dustin Johnson?
He plays the way he was born to play. And I find all that rather refreshing. There's nothing much technical about Dustin. Although he did make one or two changes with an arch left wrist at the end of the backswing. He was pretty much a natural drawer of the ball. And before he came to Oakmont, he'd been working more on a left-to-right shape. Very difficult thing to do is to take something that new into a major, and he did it brilliantly.
Would you ordinarily think, Bob Bubka, that Dustin Johnson was a US Open-type player on normal US Open fare? Because Chambers Bay was slightly different. It was kind of open and sort of sprawling dunescape. But Oakmont was more like it, US Open-wise.
Well, it certainly was, Rob. And my evaluation of Dustin Johnson is the harder the golf course, the better chance that Dustin Johnson is likely to come out on top. I knew how tough Oakmont was going to play, and that's why prior to the tournament, I did select Dustin Johnson to come out on top. I mean, he is so talented, and now that he's figured out that, you know, it's not all about just hitting 350-yard drives, wedge play often is the critical factor, and he worked really hard this past season on that wedge play, leading up to now Dustin Johnson being the PGA Tour Player of the Year and that first major under his belt. Who knows what the future holds?
How remarkable was it, Ewan, that he was able to take on board the potential penalty on the 12th tee and still play his best golf all the way into the clubhouse? I'm just going to give you this. If Colin Montgomery had been leading the US Open and been told that on the 12th tee, how would he have coped?
He would have coped in the way I would expect most players to cope. He would have refused to hit another shot until they actually get it sorted out. But Dustin, you know, having come so close at Whistling Straits in 2010, penalty in the final hole there in the PGA, then he blows the Pebble Beach US Open. He then has a blow at Royal St George's in 2011, and you're thinking, surely this is not going to happen again. Maybe he did what he felt comfortable with, just forget it all and go ahead and hit one shot after the other, knock in one putt after the other. But I think if you ask 100 players, 99 of them will say, I would not have hit another shot until that was resolved.
His butch coach Harmon said, if you're going to get better, Dustin, if you're going to close the deal, you're going to have to get better with your wedges. He worked tirelessly on getting better from inside 150 yards.
I was saying earlier how he changed from the draw to the fade. And of course, the fade's always going to be a lot friendlier with the more loft you have. And I think the change of shape from left to right, from the other one right to left, I think that allowed Dustin Johnson to have better distance control, which is something he never had before. And of course, with a fade, the ball's always coming back towards the pin or leaking towards the pin, much easier than a draw. So I think that's what they did with their wedges, and it was certainly the right move. He's become a totally different short iron player.
And Bob, how popular in the US is Dustin Johnson?
Well, he's gaining in popularity. You know, he's probably the best athlete on the PGA Tour. He's 6'3", he's 215 pounds, he's very agile, and the way he's playing golf now, it just naturally draws fans. Everybody likes to see the golf ball being hit far, and Dustin Johnson's right up there near the top of the list when it comes to moving that ball.
And he's got something in common with you, Bob. Both of you can slam dunk a basketball. Incredible athletes. And it was a disappointing end for Shane Lowry, who began his final round with a four-shot lead. That, though, had evaporated by the time he reached the turn, and he eventually finished with a share of second.
I wasn't hitting great shots. I wasn't hitting bad shots. Kept hitting at the 25, 30, 35 feet. On these greens, just tricky two putts, kept leaving myself a lot of work to do, and you know, caught up with me on 14. Really bad three putt there, and then obviously three putt 15 and 16 as well. And you know, to do that at that time in this tournament is, I mean, the more I think about it, the more upset I get. So, listen, that's the way golf is. I just have to get on with it.
On your journey, Ewan, to becoming a major champion, how important is it that you feel what Lowry felt at the US Open this year?
We talked about Watson earlier and all the pain he had to go through before he became a champion, and you see what John Watson managed to do over several decades. I like the way Shane's career is developing, winning as an amateur on the European Tour, then winning as a professional on the PGA Tour and European Tour. He became a world golf champion on one of the most revered courses in the United States. So the next step for him is, yes, a major, and he's shown he can contend. The first thing you have to do before you win one is get yourself into a position to win one.
You're a big Shane Lowry fan, Bob.
I really am, and I think he probably got a valuable lesson just watching Dustin Johnson. As you talked about Dustin previously, an opportunity at Pebble Beach and at Chambers Bay. So Shane Lowry has to say to himself, hey, wait a minute, Dustin Johnson didn't close the deal right out of the box. There's still hope for me. I did get in contention. As Ewan said, that is the first step. You must get yourself in contention, and then from there you can move on and close the deal. I think there's a major in the future of Shane Lowry.
Yeah, I'd certainly go along with that. Now, Sergio Garcia was another to threaten, reaching 3 under par on the 13th, but a run of 3 consecutive bogeys ended his challenge. The Spaniard finished level par for the tournament.
You know, it's been a while since I've been in a major four rounds up there, you know, in contention. So it was great. It was a great experience. Obviously, there's a lot of nerves, you know, I really enjoyed it. I think that I handled it quite well. You know, unfortunately, you know, came up a little bit short, but, you know, I'm still happy with it, with the week.
You know, we talked about Lee Westwood Bob as a guy who's had a career that deserved a major championship. Sergio surely must be in the same boat.
You know what I remember about Sergio Garcia? In 1999, we were at Medina, and he was in that hunt trying to track down Tiger Woods and ultimately finished second. And the talk in the media room was, oh, don't worry about Sergio Garcia. He'll have plenty of majors in his career with the amount of talent that he possesses. Well, winning a major is not a guarantee. Sergio Garcia, Lee Westwood, Paul Casey, Luke Donald, just some of the names that you can mention, Colin Montgomery, that had all the talent in the world but never got a major title next to their name. It is not easy to win a major. Certainly, Sergio deserves to win one, but, you know, there's nothing fair about golf. You have to go out and snatch it. Nobody's going to give you one.
Let's have the top 10 from the US Open, Ewan.
It was a four-way tie in eighth place. Daniel Samaras had his best major championship. And alongside him was Zach Johnson, Jason Duffner, and the other Jason Day. Kevin Na opened up with a 75, yet still managed to finish in seventh place. Two-way tie in fifth, Sergio Garcia and the South African Brandon Grace. And a three-way tie in second place there. Scott Piercy, who won the Barbasol the year before. Shane Lowry, we've talked about, a closing 66 for Jim Furyk. But even with the mystique of the penalty shot, it was a three-shot victory for Dustin Johnson and his first major title.
Yeah, and a very popular win as well. Before we get to the third of the four majors from 2016, a quick question to both of you. Which, in your opinion, Ewan, is the greatest of the four majors?
I would have to say the Open Championship, simply because it dates back to 1860. It's the one with the most history. The PGA began as a match play event and became a stroke play event. I think that has the strongest field. I think the beauty of Augusta is difficult to put other tournaments ahead of that. And the US Open, I do think that it's a very important year for them because it's great viewing over 4 days. We don't need the fifth day. It's another thing that they like is an 18-hole playoff that really nobody wants.
Bob, you, greatest major?
Well, I'm asked quite frequently if I could only cover one event in a season. Which event would it be? I don't even hesitate. It's the Open Championship. As Ewan said, it's the oldest, but it's still the greatest. I think it's the single biggest event in all of golf, and I think it'll be that way forever.
So let's move on to major number three then, the 145th Open Championship. It was a month after the US Open. It was Royal Troon. Henrik Stenson smashed all sorts of records as he claimed his first major championship after a spectacular final round battle with Phil Mickelson.
Simple little tap in from less than 18 inches. Phil Mickelson goes to 12 under par.
Oh, straight at the flag. What a beautiful shot from Henrik Stenson.
Well, they've just looked in the rear view mirror and they can't see anyone behind them, can they?
In for Mickelson, an eagle, and he retakes the lead. Stenson leads, Mickelson leads.
Oh, has he judged that well or what, Ron? What a golf shot from Phil Mickelson.
Flag comes out, it's close. Oh, it's gone in. Henrik Stenson.
Oh, you've got to laugh at the moment, haven't you? This is getting ridiculous.
Well, this is the decisive shot, really, because nothing Mickelson can do will make any difference. There it is, onto the green. Close, and in for Henrik Stenson. What a way to win the Open Championship.
It was some final round made possible by the brilliance of Phil Mickelson and the brilliance of Henrik Stenson. And straight away, when it was finished, people were making comparisons, Ewan, to Watson and Nicklaus at Turnberry in 77.
And quite rightly so. Two magnificent players, and one mustn't forget the part that Phil Mickelson played in that final round there. Earlier in the week, somehow his putt for a round of 62 managed to wiggle out at 18. It was a terrific duel between two magnificent players, just as it was back in 1977.
Where does that rank for you, Bob, as a final round of a major?
Well, I was there at Oakmont back in 1973 when Johnny Miller shot 63, and I thought, wow, I'll never appreciate the golf anymore than I appreciated that. Well, I was wrong. Henrik Stenson, certainly with that 63 on the final day, and as Ewan said, almost, we got a preview of what was going to transpire. Phil Mickelson, by just a fraction of an inch, could have had the lowest round ever shot in a major. Nobody's ever shot 62, and he had that putt on Thursday to drop in for a 62. It didn't happen, but it is special. I think as the years go on, more and more people will look back. 2016, Royal Troon, greatest major championship ever.
Well, here's just a few of the records that Stenson broke in lifting the famous claret jug. His 20 under par was the lowest in open history and joint lowest in major history. His 63 in the final round was the lowest final round to win an open championship. Not surprising there. And he became only the second player to shoot 63 in the final round of a major and then win. And there are plenty more, but we just don't have time. Those records, though, are pretty impressive, Ewan.
Amazing. I think everyone will remember where they were when Stenson and Mickelson played that final day, when whether they were sitting in the car listening to it on the radio, whether they were watching it on television, or in actual fact, whether they were there in person watching it. It was a truly remarkable day. It was golf of the very highest quality, and you felt for Mickelson with that final round of 65, trading blow for blow. And then Mickelson goes up against Garcia in the Ryder Cup, and he shoots 63 there in the singles, and that wasn't good enough either.
No, it's some sort of late summer for Phil Mickelson. It was just incredible. Is he one of your favourite players of all time, Phil? Bob?
I think he's one of the more incredible players of all time, and it's not because of victories. It's because he finished second six times in a U.S. Open. I mean, just saying that doesn't sound believable. Having never won a U.S. Open, but finishing second six times. And I throw out two other names that have never won a U.S. Open that are ultimately associated with greatness in golf. That of Sam Snead, never won a U.S. Open. Nancy Lopez, never won a Women's Open. Phil Mickelson, the sands of running through that hourglass at a rapid rate. Maybe Phil can win one, but it doesn't look good at this juncture.
Well, Mickelson's 6-under par 65 consisted of an eagle and four birdies, but he was ultimately kept at arm's length, finishing three shots behind Stenson after his barnstorming 8-under par 63. Let's hear from the 2016 Champion Golfer of the Year, Henrik Stenson.
It's going to take a little while for it to sink in, that's for sure, but I've tried hard, I've tried many times, and it feels great to come out on top, and what a battle it was with Phil. I knew he wasn't going to back down the slightest, and I had to perform at my very best, and I'm just delighted I managed to do that.
Just give us an idea of what it felt like coming down that stretch, that inward half of 31 to win the Open.
Well, I had to just try and stay in the moment, hit my spots and my shots, and I did that pretty well, and then just made a couple of bombs, especially the one on 15, and crucial was, I mean, he's so close to making that eagle on 16. I knew I had to make up and down, and then again I have an opportunity on 17 to close it out, but he makes a great par save. I just nearly missed my birdie, and then it was still game on up the last, and got a bit lucky with that tee shot that is pulled up just short of that bunker.
So many near misses in the majors. You've been third in an Open, you've been second in an Open. What does it feel like right now to be clutching that trophy?
It feels great. It's been a long wait. You know, I haven't had that many close calls. I've had some great finishes, but it's been a couple of chances. And Phil put four birdies together in the last six holes to win at Muirfield. I stood there with the second spot, and I now managed to do the exact same and make four birdies in the last five holes to clinch this one.
Well, Henrik was speaking to Ian Carter, and Ewan Stenson, he's got the first major now. He's kind of around the 40 mark age-wise, but has he got more left in him?
I think he has. It depends on his desire. I think if you look at the way he plays golf, the way he's come back from two terrible losses of form periods in the middle of his career, shows just how mentally strong he is. If he really does have the desire to press on, the answer to that question is yes.
How much traction does he have in the U.S., Henrik Stenson, Bob?
Well, he's very popular over here, and of course, winning that first major, I know he's 40 years old, but he's in tremendous physical shape, and he's very tough mentally. Of course, that major victory just puts an added burden on me, because the very first time that I interviewed Henrik Stenson 10 years ago, maybe more, I said Henrik Stenson from Norway joining me now, and to this day, every time Henrik Stenson sees me, he doesn't say hello. He says, "Sweden, not Norway." out there, popular here in America. And after that victory, I can only think that his popularity has grown by leaps and bounds behind that remarkable performance.
Yeah, and I saw some media footage recently of him taking the claret jug for a ride on a jet ski, just cuddled up in front of his chest, and he was bobbing around the Lake Nona on the jet ski with the claret jug getting a spray of water. It was pretty special looking with one of his kids on the back. He's a very unique guy, Henrik Stenson, and a fantastic golfer. Now, although gutted to miss out on a second claret jug, Mickelson was gracious in defeat when speaking to Rob Nothman.
Phil, is it any consolation that you were involved in one of the greatest battles that golf has ever seen?
No.
But you played well, didn't you?
I played well, and I played really well today. I played bogey-free golf and shot 6-under, but I got outplayed. Henrik played some incredible golf, made 10 birdies today, final round of a major. He's just really a great champ, and he's one of the best ball strikers that we have, and he struck at some of his best this week, I think. We've been friends for a while, and I'm happy for him. I'm happy for his success. I wish it wasn't at my expense, but it was a great week, a fun week, and I enjoyed having the opportunity to go head-to-head with him.
It was a fantastic... I mean, it took two players to make that performance in the final round, Bob, and everyone must remember the part that Mickelson had to play.
Well said, because if Stenson just shot that and nobody was pressing him, it wouldn't have reached the magnitude of popularity that it has achieved. So Mickelson certainly, you know, he was hurting. I mean, he was really hurting. He thought for sure that if you play that well, you should win. And that's one of the harsh aspects of golf and certainly golf at the highest level. Sometimes you can play absolutely brilliant and it's still not good enough. And that's what we witnessed with Phil Mickelson going up against a very stout Henrik Stenson.
And you could argue, Ewan, that Phil's played his finest golf in his 40s.
Well, it's been a long career. It's been 25 years for Phil Mickelson. I think he's underachieved. Now, that may be a strong thing to say with a man who has as many majors as he has, but he has been playing in the Tiger Woods era as well. I think there might still be something more to come from Mickelson.
Well, we certainly look forward to seeing Lefty play in 2017. Like he said in his own words, he just played some great golf, bogey-free 65 in the final round, and still wasn't good enough to win a major championship. I agree with you. I think there's more coming for Phil. Well, one man to capture the hearts and minds of everyone at Royal Troon was Andrew the Beef Johnson. He finished 8th on 3 under par to record his first ever top 10 finish at a major.
Just amazing. Absolutely amazing. You know, it's what you dream of as a kid, and like to have sort of reception like that and have so many people supporting me, it's just, yeah, it's surreal.
When in years to come, Andrew, somebody says to you, what is your immediate memory of Troon? What are you going to come up with? What's been the best thing this week?
Oh, well, first, the crowds. I really enjoyed the chip-in yesterday on 13 and that, and a few putts to putt hold on the first today. Everyone went mad. There's so many memories this week. I'm going to remember a lot.
Are you a fan of the beef, Bob?
I really am a fan of the beef, and following that fourth and final round, we had an opportunity to converse with a lifelong friend of Andrew Beef Johnson, and we found out that Beef's mother worked in the school cafeteria, which I thought was kind of amusing, being that he had the name Beef, and then it was disclosed to me that she's a vegetarian.
How good a golfer is Beef, Ewan?
A very good golfer. I think all the carry-on that goes with him, the cries of Beef and the smiles, and I think that really doesn't reflect what an excellent golfer he is. And of course, that wave of popularity can't continue for such a long time, 5-6 years. It will all eventually quieten down, and I think we'll see the very best of Johnson as a player.
He wasn't the only Englishman to play well, because Tyrrell Hatton finished tied fifth in a major championship, and that was the start of what was going to be a fantastic autumn.
Definitely, the week before he'd finished runner-up to Alex Norton up at Castle Stewart. So he came to Royal Troon with a lot of confidence and played well there as best finish in a major championship. Another good finish was to come a little later on in the PGA. And of course, his first victory came at the home of golf with the title of the Alfred Dunhill Links.
Now, there was hardly a dry eye in the house when Matthew Southgate closed with a 69 to finish 1 under par and a share of 12th place, just 1 year on from being diagnosed with testicular cancer.
It's just been an incredible journey for me, and you know, walking down the 18th there, I was just in tears, you know, getting clapped up to that 18th green. I'd done well to just make contact with the ball, I think, on the first putt. it's been a hell of a ride for me. It's had its ups and downs, and to come and finish in the top sort of 15, 16 maybe at the Open is just an incredible achievement. And to be able to have my parents here and let them see that is incredible.
It's a great story, Ewan, isn't it?
It is a tragic story. 12 months ago, and I remember him walking off that 18th green at the K Club and ashamedly just letting the tears flow, letting all the emotion come out, and there'll be more from him now. He's really happy to be where he always wanted to be, but his health didn't allow him to be.
He's going to be pressing on, I think, in the year to come, Matthew Southgate. It's been good to see him improve through the summer as well. Also tied for fifth, Bob, was Rory McIlroy. That was his best finish in the majors last year, or this year.
Well, that was probably one of the biggest surprises of 2016 at the major championships, that Rory McIlroy didn't win one. Had to be considered probably a favorite going into each and every one of them prior to the start of the season. But to have a tied for fifth as your best performance, certainly Rory McIlroy has established standards far higher than that. I think he'll be out for revenge in 2017.
When you watch Rory's career, Ewan, it goes in peaks and troughs. Right now, where do you think it is?
I think you'll find that will change as he gets older. I think he'll become more consistent. He had that brashness of youth back in 2011 there when he had that handsome lead at the Masters. A lot of water under the bridge since then, and he will have massed, I think, a lot of intelligence on how to close these events out. So you're going to hear about McIlroy for many years to come.
Yeah, no, well, interesting. At the end of the show, we'll get into who we think is going to play well in the four major championships in 2017. But for now, Ewan, please, the top 10 at the Open.
There was a three-way tie for ninth. Soren Kjeldsen, following his seventh place at the Masters, was alongside Dustin Johnson and Bill Haas. Andrew Johnson, we've mentioned, finished in eighth place and tied fifth, McIlroy, Hatton, and once again there, Garcia, with a closing round of 69. Steve Stricker was in fourth, J.B. Holmes in third, and if you'd taken Henrik Stenson out of the mix at Royal Troon, Phil Mickelson would have won the Open by 11 shots. That was the gap between second and third. The gap between Mickelson and Stenson was three.
Yeah, they were just a class apart, the two of them, that's for sure. Well, three down, one to go. Just 11 days after the Open, it was on to the final major of 2016, the US PGA Championship at Baltusrol Golf Club in New Jersey. And in what turned out to be a severely weather-affected week, Jimmy Walker claimed a fantastic wire-to-wire win, finishing on 14 under par, one stroke clear of defending champion Jason Day. Bob, some achievement considering he had to play 36 holes on the Sunday.
It really was quite an achievement, but there was a silver lining in all that happened because Jimmy Walker, they didn't repair for that fourth and final round. So he would have normally been playing with Jason Day, which certainly is a lot harder to close out your first championship if you're playing with the defending champion in that fourth and final round. But because of weather, they just played on. And I think that had it was a big factor in Jimmy Walker coming out on top.
How much credit do you give Jimmy, Ewan, because he was facing down the defending champion and the world number one?
Yeah, top quality field, strongest field of the year, the USPGA. And he had just gone through a very difficult period in his life. And Butch Harmon had actually got him to work with a psychologist in the middle of that year to try and bring something out there that Butch knew was there but wasn't coming out on the golf course. And four rounds in the 60s at Baltusrol is as good as it gets.
You don't see preferred lies very often in major championships.
No, great pity. I don't think anyone wants to see preferred lies in any of the big tournaments across the globe, but Baltusrol got a good soaking that week, so it was no real surprise.
Yeah, sure, dear. Well, even the weather couldn't dampen the spirits of the champion, Jimmy Walker.
My emotions, you know, Jason, when he holes out for eagle on the last hole, doesn't give me a whole lot of time to kind of soak it in. It was still game time. You know, if he makes birdie, I got a couple to play with and I can relax a little bit, but I didn't get to relax. I was standing out there in the fairway and Andy and I both said, let's go for it. You know, I didn't say this, but I figured, you know, 19 times out of 20, you're going to make a five going for the green from right there. And we had a good front number. And that's what we did and went with it. And ended up having to make a little tester coming in and just buried it. It was awesome. I'm glad you guys think I thought I looked calm. I mean, that's huge because that's what I was going for. I felt confident. I felt confident in myself. I felt confident in what I was doing. I felt confident in my golf swing, my putting, chipping. And I just kind of tried to wrap myself around that everything was feeling good and to go with that and trust what I was doing, trust all the stuff that I have been working on. And that's what I tried to apply out there.
Bob, you know him well, and you know that he's into the stars, a bit like yourself. He's a stargazer and takes some wonderful photographs.
He really does. He has a huge telescope that is located in New Mexico, but with modern technology, he's able to pull it up on his laptop wherever he is, and he spends, you know, a lot of evenings looking at the stars. And I remember when he disclosed that information to me, and he was really starting to play some super golf, and I said, you know, Jimmy, you're spending a lot of time looking at the stars, but if you keep playing the way you are going to be a star. He's certainly a star now after that win at the PGA Championship.
Ewan, how important is it, you know, when you hear about these golfers, you've got to commit so much time to trying to be the best player you can be, to have another interest? How important is that?
I think it's very important. I think it's important to have a hobby. I know one or two golfers who haven't had hobbies and they've become slaves to practicing, and sometimes that isn't the right way to go forward either. Everyone, of course, is different.
A great comeback after spending, what, 18 months kind of losing his way a little bit?
After 5 victories in a very short space of time, yes, he did go through a period where he was struggling to make cuts even, never mind win tournaments. But, you know, when I look back at that final major of the year, I was with Butch Harmon in the commentary position there, and his caddy, Andy Sanders, was a partner of Jimmy Walker all the way through youth golf into the early professional golf, and he was diagnosed with MS, and that put an end to Andy's professional career. But Jimmy wanted him there as caddy, and he was fit enough to do that. And when they embraced her, and there was tears, obviously, at the 18th, I glanced over, and Butch Harmon, who's a pretty tough man and seen some tough things in his life, he had one or two tears rolling down there as well. So it was a very emotional victory, a very popular victory, and brilliantly done when you think 4 rounds in the 60s, the last 28 holes without a drop shot.
Yeah, and 36 in the final day. That was fantastic going from Jimmy Walker. Of course, he just pipped Jason Day, who came close to defending his crown, but ultimately just fell short.
This is how you grow as a player and as a person and get better. And hopefully that yields more major championship wins in the future. But it's just great to be in the position to be able to be in contention and really, you know, especially give this title defense a really good shot at winning it again. And it would have been nice to repeat. I'm just happy that we put on a great show, especially for the New Jersey fans, which were probably the quietest fans I've ever played in front of. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Great bloke, Jason Day. Really solid bloke and fantastic golfer, but he's injury prone, Ewan.
At his age, shouldn't be either. And you look how fit he is, how hard he hits the ball, how long he manages to hit tee shots, 320 through the air, whatever. Even his irons, he's looking to 9-iron. He's looking that at 180. Maybe it's the fact he plays 100% all of the time, and maybe that's something he might change in the years ahead.
Yeah, hopefully Jason will be back out ready to go in 2017. And let's face it, that's just a few weeks away. Bob, tell us about Daniel Summerhayes, who finished third.
All I have to tell you about Daniel Summerhayes, he had a brilliant collegiate career, and his dream, his lifelong dream, was to be a golf professional. But he had made a commitment to go on a 2-year mission to help people less fortunate than him. He kept that commitment, has come back now, and is out on the PGA Tour, and that was his best finish ever in a major. But he's certainly somebody that you can look up to, not only for their ability to play golf, but the way they live their life.
European Tour members doing well, Ewan, Brandon Grace, Martin Kaymer, Henrik Stenson, Tyrrell Hatton?
Yeah, all very promising. They would want it to be maybe the first major of the year and go on from there, but of course they'll have to wait the statutory 8 months.
Give us the top 10 then in the final major of the year.
William McGirt had his maiden victory in the PGA Tour this year. He was tied 10th alongside Tyrrell Hatton, and Paul Casey once again with a good showing. Robert Streb came back to form after a good 2015, quiet year for him. Open champion Stenson was alongside Kaymer and Streb in 7th place there. And Hideki Matsuyama, who'd won in Phoenix earlier in the year, he was at the start of a very good run, tied 4th with Koepka and Grace. Summerhayes, you've mentioned there. Jason Day, an eagle at the last. It was just too little, too late. But Jimmy Walker, perhaps it was written in the stars, he'd be a major champion.
He certainly was, winning major number 4 of 2016. So which of the 4, Bob, for you was your standout one, that your favourite one, for whatever reason you want?
Well, there's no doubt that it had to be the Open Championship because of the quality of play and how they separated themselves. I mean, it's remarkable to think that Phil Mickelson was and yet not good enough to win. So the Open Championship, the venue at Royal Troon, the battle between Stenson and Mickelson clearly establishes itself, in my mind, as the major of the year for 2016.
And your favourite major, Ewan?
Very difficult to separate them for different reasons, but I'll go for the PGA. Jimmy Walker's one of the top guys out there. He's a bloke that you'd love to spend quite a lot of time with. He's waited a long time for it. He's been patient, and eventually he got the rewards. It was a fabulous moment on the 18th green at Baltusrol.
You know, when you think of them all, the Willett breakthrough, the Dustin Johnson win with the penalty looming, Henrik Stenson 63 in the final round, and Jimmy Walker with his emotional breakthrough win at the PGA. I agree. I think it's very hard to single one out. I'll go for Dustin Johnson because I think to get told in the 12th tee that you might have a shot penalty, for him to come through that and break through and win his first US Open after missing so many times on so many occasions was pretty special. And I think in Walker and in Stenson and in Willett and in Johnson, I've got them all down for more majors.
Well, the beauty is they were all first-time major winners, and that doesn't happen very often. And you're right, there is time on their side to add to them.
We tried to pick 1 year ago at this very show, looking ahead to 16, who we thought might win the majors. So let's start with the Masters. I went for Rory because he's waiting for that for his career slam. Ewan, you went for Rory. And Bob, you went for Bubba Watson. Didn't quite happen for Bubba.
No, it really didn't. He's got two green jackets already. I think he'll have more green jackets in that locker, at least one more, before his career is finished.
Oakmont, the greens were always going to be tricky and fiery there. I went for Spieth. Nobody putts better than him when he's on. It didn't do it for me. Ewan, you went for Jason Day. Sensible pick, but didn't quite happen for him.
No, it didn't happen for him, but I know it did happen for Bob.
Are we going to hear about it right now?
I had a good feeling about Dustin Johnson on this show a year ago because I knew what a test Oakmont was going to be. It's a big boys golf course. And nobody can play big boy golf any better than Dustin Johnson right now.
At the Open Championship, I went for Henrik Stenson. I picked him because I still see him as a guy who, even though he's getting to the 40 mark now, I still see his star on the rise, and he's performed well in major championships, and he came through with one of the rounds, the best rounds we've ever seen, ever, anywhere. You went for Dustin Johnson. You would think Dustin's an Open Championship kind of a guy, wouldn't you, the way he plays?
Sure, I was one late, that's all.
And Bob, Shane Lowry went for because of his Lynx experience.
Based on his disappointment at Oakmont, that he would be able to rally and win at Royal Troon, but it just wasn't meant to be.
At the USPGA, I went for Rory. Bob went for Rory. You went for Jordan Spieth. Jordan struck out last year.
I didn't think he would. I think he would definitely have one of the majors, and then it wouldn't have surprised me if he'd managed to secure two of them, simply with the game that he has, the temperament he has to go with that excellent game. But he'll have to wait, like everyone else, until the second week in April.
And he's just won the Aussie Open for the second time in 3 years, so maybe he can't wait to get to Augusta, the first major of the year, in the spring of 2017. OK, so we head into the year that's coming up and the four majors. Let's go to the Masters, first of all. And Ewan, who's your pick for this season coming ahead?
I'm going to go for Rory McIlroy because I really do think that he is the game to take that golf course on. He's a year older, he's a year wiser. He's come close, it's slipped away from him. So I'll pick Rory.
Bob, for you.
Well, Ewan played the game a lot better than I ever played it, so I'm going to back his pick. I have a strong feeling Rory McIlroy is going to complete his Grand Slam when we get to Augusta in April.
You know, 5-under par won in 2016, Danny Willett. All Rory's got to do is play the par fives well and par the rest. That's a winning formula for him. And if he does, it's a career slam in his 20s. Pretty special. He's a special player. I've got to agree with you two and go for Rory McIlroy at Augusta. Then we go to a golf course I've never been to, Erin Hills up in Wisconsin, the US Open, Ewan, for you.
Wisconsin owes Dustin Johnson a tournament. He should have had it at Whistling Straits when another strange ruling, it must be said, cost him a shot at the last, and Martin Keimer nipped in 2010. US Open champion, successful defence for Johnson.
I can see Bob Bubka following you yet again. Let's find out.
Erin Hills is a brand new golf course. I have never been there. I've heard some things about it, but I haven't heard enough that would legitimately make me make a pick. I'm going to abstain for picking a winner of the US Open.
That is not acceptable, Bob. You have to come up with a name because in 12 months' time, we will reflect on your choice. While you're thinking, I'm going to go with Jordan Spieth. I think that Jordan Spieth is going to have a very good 2017. I think he's maturing. I think what happened at the Masters is going to stand him in good stead going forward. And I can see Jordan picking up his National Open, the US Open Championship. Have you thought of somebody, Bob?
Lee Westwood.
Now, that would be a fantastic story. We've already spoken about maybe Sergio and Lee Westwood, it all coming right one week. He is famed for driving the ball well, and if Erin Hills is a tee-shot golf course, then maybe Lee in his best form could win there. That's a very good pick. To the Open Championship at Royal Birkdale, Ewan.
Always very difficult, simply because of the weather. What side of the draw do you get? So, a tough one for me, but I think Japan might have the first major champion in the shape of Hideki Matsuyama.
He's not a bad player, is he?
Up to sixth in the world ranking, 4 wins out of the last 5 events. I was going to go for Matsuyama for the Masters because he has the game for that. I'll take him for the Open.
Bob?
I love the fact that Ewan picked Hideki Matsuyama. He's destined to win a major. Very well could be his first one at Royal Birkdale.
So you copied Ewan with Rory at the Masters. You had no view on the US Open. We get to major number 3, the Open, and again you've copied Ewan and you've gone for Hideki Matsuyama.
Well, age is starting to set in.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go for a repeat of last year's Open, this year's Open, and the last one when we get to 2017. I'm going to go for Henrik Stenson to win again. I remember Padraig Harrington winning back-to-back Open championships when he broke through, and I'm going to go for Henrik Stenson to keep that claret jug and give it another ride at Lake Nona on his jet ski in about 6 or 7 months' time. So for me, it's Henrik Stenson. That leaves us with a great golf course down in Charlotte, Quail Hollow, for the fourth and final major of 2017, the USPGA Championship. Ewan?
I'm going to go for Patrick Reed.
Because?
I think we saw the real Patrick Reed at the Ryder Cup. He embraces pressure. He actually enjoys it. And there's not many who play any sport really enjoy being under pressure, but he does. And I fancy that Patrick Reed will be a major champion, winning the USPGA.
Yes, and who's going to forget in a hurry the Reed-McIlroy matchup in match number 1 at this year's Ryder Cup? I mean, they were both just phenomenal. Reed pipping him.
First 9 holes there were astonishing, but he wasn't going to let go, Reed. He really did enjoy that atmosphere, and I think he'll win one of them. I'm going to give him the PGA.
OK, Bob, are you going to go for Patrick Reed as well?
No, I'm not. Patrick Reed has never finished in the top 10 in any major. There's no doubt his Ryder Cup performance was absolutely stellar. I have to see a little bit more from Patrick Reed before I put a major championship up on his mantle. One factor that is going to be a huge factor, in fact, at Quail Hollow when they hold that PGA in August, the heat is going to be a factor, and nobody over the last 20 years brought the heat any better than Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods will win his 15th major at the PGA Championship.
It's a great shout. Before I give you my pick, Ewan, what about the potential comeback of Tiger Woods?
I think very encouraging, because for the first time we were talking about his golf on his return and the 4 rounds that he played over in the Bahamas. There was no mention of pains, there was no mention of sprains, no limping. It was all about, I made a few mistakes. Of course he did, he's been 16 months out of the game. But it was all about his golf and not about his health. So I think Woods could go ahead and win a major. I really do believe that.
Yeah, if he comes back flying next year, I mean, even look out at the Masters, because he's got a very special connection with that place and he knows how to play the golf course. I'm going to go for Rory McIlroy at Quail Hollow. Of course he loves. He's won on there twice. And if he wins the Masters in April, then he's going to be, his confidence levels will be massive when he gets to a course that he knows he can conquer. So I'm going to go for Rory. And Ewan, you know, you think about the top golfers in the world now, Dustin Johnson, Stenson, Spieth, McIlroy, Jason Day, and add Woods into that mix. If it all gets going like we think it might health-wise, 2017 could be stellar.
Yeah, and there'll be one or two youngsters coming through. We've talked about Hideki Matsuyama. He's only 24 years of age and already secured victories on the PGA Tour. And very important that he won the World Golf Championship over there at Shishan International, first Japanese player to win there. I'm just looking at the Open Championship at Royal Birkdale and Stenson to successfully defend. You mentioned Harrington. It was on that course that he successfully defended, having won at Carnoustie.
Yeah, that's a brilliant shout, Ewan, a brilliant shout. So we'll see at the Open Championship. It goes the Masters, the US Open, Open and USPGA. Same order that we love. 2017 could be a magical one. Bob, what are you looking forward to most before we let you go?
Well, just one additional thought on Royal Birkdale. Certainly, Patrick Harrington has fond memories with that 5-wood that he hit. But I think that probably the golf
you see, you get Bob Bubka. He won't give opinion on who might win, you know, an original opinion who might win the major, but he comes out with stuff like that, and you just can't buy that, Ewan.
You can. It's a gift.
It is a gift. Bob, speaking of a gift, it's Christmas. I wish you happy tidings over the Christmas period, and we look forward to hearing from you very soon in 2017.
Well, thanks for allowing me to join you guys. It's certainly an honor and a privilege, and I wish every one of our listeners 2017 to be one of the greatest years in golf. 2016, we saw all four first-time winners. I predict in 2017, we may not see any first-time winners.
Great stuff, Bob. Thank you. You take care.
All right, you too.
Yeah, it's always great to hear from Bob. Well, that's about it for now. We hope you've enjoyed our look back at the majors in 2016. And what a special year of golf it was. Here's to hoping that 2017 is just as enthralling. Join us next week where we will preview the 2017 race to Dubai and look ahead to the BMW South African Open. But until then, from Ewan Murray.
Thank you, Robert.
Bob Bubka and myself, Robert Lee, it's goodbye and Happy New Year.